You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 4 November, and all the Tongaat non-execs have quit. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Mthethwa Tulari from RMB. That's the Bunya Stillwater. It was an operational update. Ooh, the stock market did not like it, down 10%. We're going to be chatting with the CEO of PayMeNow, the war for talent and skills that sees base pay as only one of considerations. I want to dig into that. And then some thoughts from me, Fed and Bank of England rate increases. The text was bearish. Hawkers, should we say. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. SAA is stuck in a bygone era. The marginal airline pretending that it's a sprawling global one. Business Day, Eastern Cape to get a boost as VWSA plans a new model. Production will be aimed primarily at the SA and other African markets. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 1.1%, Nasdaq off 2%. Asia mixed, Sydney up 0.33%, Tokyo down 2%. Remember, they were closed yesterday. Commodities mostly red overnight, gold 1,642, Brent 95.40, platinum 927, palladium 1,822. Gold was your only green there. Rand 18.34, Bitcoin unchanged 20,300, Tencent trading up 9.3% in Hong Kong, and top 40 opening call 560 points to the green. That's almost 1%.
MoneyWeb Now on the money.
Starting now with Mthethwa Tulari, head FX execution at RMB. Mthethwa, that's the Bunya Stillwater update. US production, PGM production down 40%. SA PGM production down 14%. There was flooding in the US back at home. There was load shedding. There was cable theft. The market, I suppose, rightly didn't like and took it down 10%. But a lot of that, in fact, all of it, flooding, load shedding, cable theft, these are issues beyond management's control.
Good morning, Simon. I suppose you're very much right. I mean, call it a cocktail of all the bad things that could happen for Sibanye really happened, right? I mean, if you just look at their core profit for the third quarter to end September, that halved. Fell about 43% year on year to about 8.4 billion. But also, as you mentioned, I mean, obviously costs were surging and obviously you're grappling with lower production. There's flooding, there's load shedding, and also, you know, there's pressure from input costs. I mean, if you just look at the, you know, Stillwater operation in Montana, as you rightfully say, there was regional flooding. There's nothing management can do. So obviously that will result in production almost halving, you know, and then you just look at the US production of platinum and also palladium, that fell about 40%. Then you look at the SA production numbers, the basket of four PGM metals, that fell almost 14% on the back of load shedding and obviously the significant rise in cable theft. And then you just look at the margin peak of 40% in 2021. I think that may contract to about 30% this year, followed by a sharp decline of around 22 to 26% in 2023. But if you remember, I mean, though PGM basket prices did soar in March, the combination of obviously the flat production, the labor strikes at their gold operations, and also the sharp decrease in rhodium and palladium prices have put pressure on Sibanye's EBITDA margin, and that's going to continue over the next 2 years. So if we do have an appreciation in the rand, rising energy prices and other commodity-related cost input inflation that obviously is going higher, that could represent further headwinds for Sibanye. And I mean, you just need to remember that they've got an aging gold business that is obviously facing a declining production profile from a mid-decade profile, which may pose an additional further challenge for them, which obviously will mean further compressing margins. And I think that obviously is something that they really need to think about, especially when you compound that with the rising costs that we have seen, but also also, I mean, if you just look at how they're also trying to manage their jaws, their revenue jaws, I mean, they've recently said they're looking to cut about 2,000 jobs at their Beatrix gold mine out in the Free State. However, you know, the group has obviously signed a 5-year wage agreement. If you remember, I mean, they are the mining company that is obviously synonymous with Marikana, and obviously just those Marikana and Rustenburg operations, they've reached an agreement for a 6% increase in each year in respect of annual wages and benefits for employees at the two operations out in Marikana and Rustenburg. So I think this is obviously going to set the scene for the next 5 years in terms of relative stability, in terms of labor relations between the company and the unions. But I think beyond that, I mean, some of the other factors such as load shedding and obviously the flooding, etc., that's beyond, you know, Neil Froman and his teams and his management teams it's out of his hands, honestly.
Yeah, and when I look at the PGM miners, what am I looking at year to date? Anglo Platinum, Implats both down 9%, Northam and Sibanye down 15%, Theresa down 17%. They're not alone in what has been a fairly tough year. It's, I suppose, a quick last question. A good industry, this will pass, but in the meantime, it's tough being a shareholder. Truthfully, it's tough being management in this sector as well.
It's actually very tough, but I mean, if you cost your mind to, you know, a year and a half ago, they were the darlings of the industry, right? So it just shows you, and I mean, obviously, they contributed significantly to the fiscus here in South Africa, and obviously, Minister Kodongwane can obviously attest to that. I mean, if you remember, call it a year ago, we were talking about the hangs, which was the likes of Harmony, Anglo Gold, Northern, you know, Goldfields, etc. So there were the darlings, but I mean, these things happen. I mean, it is operational issues that obviously need to be cleaned up, and obviously, you know, no, they're not the only ones. But I suppose what you also, you know, despite the deteriorating environment that we've seen from a global political and economic environment in 2022, I think pressure metals have remained really well supported, and they are within the historical high ranges, right? So if anything, I mean, you know, for them, it's a case of if they have greater operational stability across the group, that should enable management to obviously improve their cost management for the coming year, and obviously ensure more stable earnings and cash flow, and, you know, slightly consolidate the already robust group that is Sibanye. So it's not all doom and gloom. Yes, obviously what came up yesterday was obviously not what the market liked, but I think if anything, you know, they need to also just step up, and obviously I think they will come back and bounce back.
Yeah, I take a point on that. And of course, I'd forgotten Neil Froman got a 300 million rand payday earlier this year. Nice money if you can get it. Mateta Tolari, head of FX execution at RMB. Appreciate the early morning. And that's our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter. Sibanye, what's your take on it? I mean, is this a buying opportunity? Perhaps you're staying well away. Perhaps you already hold it. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money.
Trading now with Dion Mnubrecha. He is CEO of Pay Me Now. Dion, appreciate the early morning time. I want to chat around the earned wage access before we do. I mean, you're talking around the point in a note you put out that employee incentives, they really, I don't know. I mean, I suppose it was happening before the pandemic, but post-pandemic, it seems that, you know, flexible working arrangements, maybe even hours, mobility, health, wellness, it's so much more these days than just that base pay that you receive.
Yeah, absolutely. Morning, Simon. Look, I think there's a couple of factors that you've pointed to there already. If you look at the society that we live in at the moment, especially in the commerce space, everything's becoming very much an interconnected space. We're becoming a society where everything is on demand. Majority of people reload their electricity once a week. They top up airtime every couple of days. If you want groceries or food, you jump on an app and that gets delivered to your house in a couple of minutes in some instances. So it's very much this consumer society of on demand. Mm-hmm. However, we've got this periodic cash flow that happens on the other end when it comes to how people are being paid. So majority of people in South Africa, or especially in the emerging market economies, are still being paid monthly. And that's that massive disconnect between on-demand society, however, pay coming through periodically or once a month.
I take your point. I hadn't thought about that, of course. I mean, we, yeah, and in some markets, I mean, in the US, I think pay is typically a fortnightly process. Which to me, in one sense, seems weird, but I, you know, our life is happening, our life doesn't sort of revolve around calendar months. And this is where earned wage access comes in, which is what you guys are doing at Pay Me Now, which is, I mean, I when I look at it, I think it's payday loan, but I think payday loan is perhaps putting it in a nasty basket in a sense. This is basically sort of saying, you know, access some of your salary in advance, and I imagine then clear it at the end of the month.
Yeah, so Simon, look, we're not provocating that your entire pay needs to be made available to you throughout the month. Typically, through a system like Pay Me Now or the earned wage access industry, employees are given access to typically 25% of their earnings throughout the month. And really, putting us in the box of payday lender, I think it's quite easy because that's sort of what the market is used to. But we're using technology to actually disrupt that market. So things like, you know, on average being 10 times cheaper than a payday loan is something that we're very much proud of and something that we're able to do through technology, but also that other services through services like Pay Me Now come at zero fees, like the ability to top up electricity, the ability to buy food and grocery. And that is done through an interconnected e-commerce space that we have built that leverages off the suppliers, as well as that ability to connect to the large employers' payroll systems.
So how does this work? So a corporate, I imagine a corporate would need to would sign up with this, and to the upfront point, this is almost a perk, and then it sits within an app. So I can say I need some cash, and it sort of immediately I can go and say, well, actually I need cash to buy electricity. You know, I'm not going to go to an ATM. Just actually send me the almost the power number.
Yes, so very much. Pay Me Now or the industry, we are a software as a service platform. We are a service provider to the corporate, so they are able to enable earned wage access to their staff using a service like Pay Me Now. A simple example, if you earn 30,000 Rand a day, which we know, a month, which is not the norm in South Africa, it is about 1,000 Rand a day. So if your employer has signed up to a service like Pay Me Now, typically giving access to 25%, on the 10th day of the month, you've earned 10,000 Rand, so theoretically you'll get access to 2,500 Rand on the 10th. Or 25% or 15% on the 15th of the month. Now, we do know that the average salaries of the employees on systems like Earned Wage Access and Pay Me Now is a lot lower than that, closer to about 5,000 to 6,000 Rand a month. And the average usage that we've been seeing is 350 Rand two times a month, and then a couple of top-ups on electricity, food, airtime and data to the value of about 150. So we're talking 700, 750 Rand a month, typical usage that we've seen. This is not massive loans. This is not money to, you know, pay for holidays or pay off a car. It's really just that on-demand requirement for goods and services that we are so used to now just making use of as we need.
And I'm imagining, and you made this point, because it's done almost at the employee level, you said you can do it a whole lot cheaper. One of them is, I mean, I never want to say, you know, never say never, but you're pretty much guaranteed to get that money at the end of the month. You're taking, in essence, almost no credit risk, because I'm imagining you get then paid direct from the employer.
Yeah, so definitely your credit risk shifts as a company like ourselves from consumer to business. So there's still a little bit of a concentration and a credit risk there. Obviously, we need to do the vetting around who qualifies to provide the service. But at the same time, you know, you're 100% right. That then translates to a massive saving to the consumer or to the end user. And typically, our fees are the same as an ATM withdrawal. But then, as I mentioned, the further benefit is that ability to get goods and services like electricity and food at zero fees, because we are able to then score a rebate on the back end with the supplier.
Okay. So I mean, this really, and I go back to my first point. I mean, this is almost nothing like the payday loan. I'm going to delete that out of the process. And you make the point. This is, I mean, I suppose you could do it with large corporates, but this is, you know, average person taking 350 rand. This is really the lower end of the employed space. And this is people who are finding it tough. And to your earlier point, the idea that we get paid monthly, I mean, it's just sort of something that exists for perhaps no real reason.
Well, the reason is obviously because it's a massive burden for a company to have to manage cash flow intra-month, to have to process pay intra-month. and really using technology that obviously unlocks it.
Mm.
So really for us, it's a case of how can we use technology better in this kind of society? And I think maybe just another point that I wanted to make is, you know, potentially a lot of the listeners and your followers, you know, we've got the luxury of owning a car. Fuel in that car, and that, you know, you've just budgeted for your transport for the next week or two. But your average low-income worker, which unfortunately is the majority of the South African workforce, these guys and ladies have to jump in their car or into a taxi every single day. That's cash in hand. And now having to budget that kind of cash flow on a daily basis, but paid monthly, is a massive disconnect.
No, that's a great example. Yeah, I mean, you put petrol in, and that's the next 10 days or something. We can do that cash flow. We'll leave it there. Really appreciate the time, Dion de Brugge. He's CEO of Pay Me Now.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanlib Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
So this week was all about developed market rate increases. We've got our own MPC meeting 3 weeks yesterday, if memory serves. So Wednesday was the Federal Reserve up 75 points. Initially, the market quite liked it because the statement that came attached to it seemed to suggest that they would maybe start easing. But the press conference half an hour later, Jerome Powell basically, I mean, he said, we will do whatever is needed. And there has been consistency in that message. Now, we can criticize them for being behind the curve and being late to the party. I remember transitory inflation last year, and I think that's a fair critique. But at this point, they are sticking to their guns. They are not blinking. It's perhaps a little easier as employment in the U.S. remains absolutely robust. We saw jolts earlier in the week, job openings. That number trended higher, which was unexpected. The Fed actually wants that coming down. I mean, are they going to pivot? I suppose they might blink. But at this point, betting on a Fed pivot is really the wrong side of the coin. They are prepared to do what seemingly ever it takes. They do not want inflation. The BOE yesterday raising Bank of England also 75 points. That is the largest increase in 33 years. Although the first time the Fed did 33 points, it was also the largest increase in around 30-odd years. But the Bank of England one is scary. They're expecting the worst recession in 100 years in the UK, starting next year and running into 2024. It is going to be tough there. And whilst the Bank of England is maybe a little softer in the process, these central bankers, and I think we can say the same of our own, they are not blinking. They're not pivoting just yet. They are staying the course. Their course, of course, defeat inflation. That's it for today. I was chatting with Dis-Chem CFO yesterday, Roy Murray, on their results. HEPS was up some 44-odd%. A good set of numbers, really good margin expansion, up to 31%. They targeted 30% by 2024, if memory serves, and they're ahead of that already. We asked you, which do you prefer, Clicks or Dis-Chem? Over a third said Clicks for the win. Look, on the chart, Clicks has done well better. It's 100% better off than the Dis-Chem of since listing. A quarter of you were loving Dis-Chem, and then just under a tenth of you were saying a bit of both, while the rest, a small number, said, nope, you don't want neither. I like both, but I got to say, I mean, Clicks in particular, it's always just expensive. It's one of those stocks, almost you've got to close your eyes and buy it. And I know when I do that, the price will collapse. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nabokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.